3, 2, Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Joe Cristiano, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, your voice of reason, an independent streaming internet radio station and libertarian voice, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Sunday evening, June 24th, 2007. It's about 8:30 p.m. Central Time in the United States. Liberty Talk Radio is your antidote to popular talk radio. Here you are expected to do more than just listen. You are expected to think. Although we broadcast from the United States, libertarian principles of individual freedom and responsibility are universal and apply to your area of residence, be it New York, Bangkok, Berlin, or Stalingrad. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Now, on to our program. Good evening, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call area code 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620, and we'll take your comments while on the air. At other times, when we're rebroadcasting or we're not live, please call area code 903-551-2186 to leave a voice message. Of course, you may send us email at any time to comments@libertytalkradio.com. We will try to respond to your questions during our next broadcast. In addition to accessing Liberty Talk Radio from our website, you may now access our broadcast from blogtalkradio.com/Liberty Talk Radio. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website to mytwocentsonline.com. That's mytwocentsonline.com, and the two is a numerical two. This evening, we are going to tackle the discussion or the debate about English being the official language of the United States. Before we get to that, I would like people to call in and weigh in on this. It would be a much more interesting conversation. I usually do research prior to, which I did in this case, prior to the broadcast, and this has not been the most exciting one that I've done, and found it very difficult to find some really concrete reasons for or against. Now, there's a lot of reasons. I'm talking about concrete reasons. We talk about the English language being a unifying force here in the United States, or any one language being a And what we like to do is dispel any of the misnomers that we have out there right now. But before we do that, the last Thursday's broadcast, I was quite lethargic. That was because I got in at 3:30 in the morning, had a broadcast, get up at 5:30 to prepare for my broadcast at 6:30 in the morning. I had been in San Antonio, Texas. My wife and I took a train ride down there. We took Amtrak, and I'd like to do a segment on Amtrak itself, and basically not Amtrak so much, but government subsidies, and how Amtrak cannot be competitive in the marketplace because it's competing against subsidized transportation, being our roads, which we drive our cars on. And now that it's being subsidized to the tune of about $1 billion a year, quite frankly, they don't care if you ride the train, because if you don't ride the train, they just get subsidized more. In fact, there's a disincentive, I believe, with Amtrak right now. In fact, if they do become profitable, they lose their subsidy, something I don't think they want to do. Interesting. It was an interesting experience. I will do a broadcast on it, and I do hope I get some people calling in on that, weighing in on it, and giving me their experience if, in fact, they, you know, had taken take an Amtrak. English as the official language. You know, we think of America as a country that has primarily one language and some secondary languages. And to an extent, that is true. There are literally hundreds of languages spoken in the United States. I think there's somewhere between 3, and we can't get a fix on the exact number, but it's over 300, and I believe as many as 500, native Indian languages, many of which are becoming extinct because the populations are so small. The tribes are integrating either with other tribes or integrating into the American culture, and no one is learning the languages. There is somewhat a resurgence in that area, but there are many, many, and hundreds of Native American languages. I would suspect that all of this hubbub about the English being the English being an official language stems from our concern with a large number of Spanish-speaking people coming across the border. Now, no one is really saying that, but I can't find anywhere in my research where there is any particular reason why this subject should come up now after we've been a nation, you know, for a couple of hundred years. More than 200 years. Was it 230 years or something like that? The question that I have to ask is, why now are we approaching this precipice? What is really interesting is that most people in the United States speak English. I think it's 96% of the people speak English either well or very well, according to the records. And if that's the case, why the panic? Well, yes, there are lots of people coming in who are speaking their native tongue. But that's always been the case. 75 years ago, it was close that only 90% or 88% of the people spoke English well or very well. There were so many immigrants coming in, not everyone spoke English. I mean, a lot of people learned, but at any one point in time, actually, there are more people speaking English well today than at any time in history. What I don't understand is there seems to be a mentality in the United States that once I get something here in the United States, once I am here and once I have something, no one else is eligible for it. Now, whenever I speak to friends and acquaintances and we talk about political issues, I get on my high horse about our misunderstanding of liberty. We just do not understand what that means. We have lost that concept. Now, if this is this is a free country. Well, if it's a free country, why can't we speak any language we want? Now, and I understand that if we have, you know, 50 different languages and there was no commonality, that would be a problem. But in order to become a citizen of the United States, you have to take an exam. That exam is only given in English. Now, people come here, they want to be American citizens. They don't come here for any other reason, because they know this is the land of opportunity. They know they can do better here if they apply themselves than any place else in the world. Now, the big problem is most of these people who come over here speak a language that has nothing in common with the English language. I would like to really ask people to take a look at some foreign, take a look at Chinese and try to study Chinese. Try to study some of the Arabian languages. They are so incredibly difficult for us so incredibly difficult to learn. It would take us years upon years to become proficient at it, to even be able to get around. Now, the kicker is, people who speak the foreign language have even more difficulty with the English language as spoken in the United States, because this language is ever-changing. You know, there's idiomatic expressions. We say things that, you know, what's up, man? I mean, what does that mean, what's up, man? And yet, when someone tries to translate that, if they're from a foreign country, they say, well, is something going up? Well, no, it means hello. They find it very, very, very difficult. We have words here that sound the same, exactly the same, are spelled slightly different, but mean totally different things. And I don't know how you explain that to someone who hasn't been here, hasn't been living here. So understand, if someone comes in here and wants to learn the English language, they set foot on American soil and they want to learn the English language, they're going to have a very, very long road to haul. Now, they know they have to speak the English language. Why does it have to be the official language? They know when they come here, they do not have to be proficient in German or French or Spanish or Portuguese or any other language. They know they have to be proficient in English. When our government, when our Congress meets, which language do they speak? They speak American English. Now, what is really interesting, and something that no one brings up, is the fact that there are several states that have official languages. That's true. And they're not English. For example, the official language of Louisiana is French. Now, I've been to Louisiana. When I go there, they have an accent. Some people have an accent there, but they speak English. Now, isn't it interesting that I go to a state that has an official language other than English, and everyone speaks English? They don't seem to be afraid that they're going to lose their French heritage. I quite frankly do not understand at all the impetus behind this amendment to make English the official language. This is a free country for all people. Remember our Statue of Liberty. Give me your tired, your poor, and your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. We should embrace all languages as we always have embraced all languages. Now, if you want to be part of our volunteer army, you have to be a citizen. To be a citizen, you need to take a test in the English language. And once you're in the army, you better speak English, and you'll learn real quick, or else you're going to be scrubbing floors for a long time. I mean, there is plenty of motivation for people to speak English and not speak their native tongue. Now, once we get into another arena, and that arena being that of government subsidies. Well, you know, what about the government subsidy, the government program here, the government program there? Well, I hate to address those, because those programs should not even exist in the first place. You know, it's because we have a government that's a nanny state that gives things out. And if English is not the official language, they may have to print forms in another language, and that costs more money. That's no reason to make it. Making English the official language doesn't solve the problem of the nanny state. It just saves you a few thousand dollars printing forms. But that's immaterial. Since we have a nanny state, we can have a nanny state and say, fine, if you do want those monies, you'll have to apply for them in English. Now, the person doesn't speak English, but that's okay. They can find an interpreter, and they can interpret it for that person. If I went to Germany, Oh, I went to France and I wanted to apply for something official, I would have to apply in that native language, in French or German. Now, quite frankly, I don't know if I assume French is the official language of France, and German is the official language of Germany. I don't know if it's an official language, but that's what they speak there. But I would expect that I would have to speak those languages if I wanted to communicate with the government, and especially if I wanted some sort of government assistance. Now, let's assume for a second that German was not the official language. And I went to Germany, and everyone spoke German. Everyone in the government spoke German, and I wanted to apply for something. I went, hey, man, you don't want to apply for something. And they looked at me with a blank stare, and they spoke to me in German. I'd get it real quick that I better learn to speak German, or I'm not going to get anything. What's wrong with that? Absolutely nothing. See, the onus is on the individual and individual responsibility, and that constitutes our freedom, ladies and gentlemen. I do not need these bureaucrats in Washington telling me what a language is official. I'm not that stupid. I know when I go into a store, if I go to Walmart, most likely I'll have to speak English. Now, if I moved into a neighborhood that was 90% Latino, and whatever Latino means, you know, Spanish speaking, and I walked into a corner grocery store that was owned or operated by a Latino couple who came here to prosper here in the United States, I would expect that they would speak a limited amount of English. And if I wanted to thrive in that neighborhood and live in that neighborhood, I better learn to speak Spanish. But not only Spanish, you understand. Spanish has many dialects. There are ones from Puerto Rico, Costa Rica, Nicaragua, Salvador, Panama, you know, Mexico. I mean, and even within Mexico, there are many dialects. So depending on the neighborhood I went to, I would have to learn that particular dialect of Spanish. Now, when people come here, there are towns, and there always have been. There were towns in Oklahoma at one time that were settled by immigrants from Italy. And everyone spoke Italian. No matter where you went, I mean, you went to the store, you better speak Italian. That didn't make these people subversive to the United States. No. And when their children grew up, you know, some of them spoke Italian as their second language and English as their first language. And then eventually, you know, now those towns are, I mean, they have some Italian restaurants, but primarily they're Oklahoma towns now. We evolve very nicely without government interference. The questions that I have is, why are we doing this? And why now? What has changed? What are we afraid of, folks? What are we afraid of? How does this affect everybody else? What are the consequences? You know, in Europe, and I've traveled in Europe a couple of times, do you realize how many languages are spoken in the European countries? You have to understand the European countries are, most of them, are no bigger than the state of Texas. They're all smaller than Alaska itself. So people are constantly driving in and out of territories that speak Slavic and then German and French and Italian and a combination of those languages. And yet, those countries, and they have many immigrants. They have immigrants from the Middle East, from North Africa, and yet they don't seem to have a problem. And the people there realize that if they want to work in that country, they can speak their own language, but they must learn to speak the language of that country, the predominant language of that country. You know, we don't need to be legislated any more than we are now. We need to delete I wish we had a delete button on legislation and get rid of 99% of the legislation we have already enacted. It's all worthless. Doesn't this really smack of political a political stunt? You know, a politician says, we have to make English the official language of the United States because we have to be a unifying nation. And everyone, yay! And then we all cheer and we all get behind the person. That person's really a real American. Well, it's a political stunt. It has absolutely nothing to do with reality. When we were settling this country and people came from all over, primarily people spoke English. That was the core. But for the most part, few people spoke English. They spoke their native tongue. But there was an understanding, even 200 years ago, that if you wanted to get ahead, if you wanted to prosper in this country, you had to speak English. That has not changed. So my question is, what's changed? I don't think anything has changed. Is there anyone in the world, other than maybe some isolated island somewhere, who does not know that the language of the United States is American English? And what I find so interesting, and the argument is, well, people aren't learning it anymore to speak in a native tongue, you know, and we got to force them to. Well, listen, that is a product of our school system and a product of government policy. You see, it's government legislation and policy that's screwing everything up. So what we need is more government regulation to square away to apparently correct all the government corruption or the corrupting effect of government policies. It makes absolutely no sense at all. Isn't it amazing that around the world, people speak English as a second language because they know how important it is? Now, we are talking about people who are living 3,000 to 5,000 miles away from the United States, know how important it is to speak American English. So they learn it. And many of them learn it as an option, as an alternative. They're not forced to, because they know if they don't, they're going to be handicapped. Now, if people 5,000 miles away know that, how come people here in the United States, don't know that? This is a free country. We should come and go as we please. We should be able to speak whatever language we want. And if you make English the official language, then it's going to become illegal to speak your native tongue in certain circumstances, and thereby reducing the freedom of the people who are here. There are elderly people who come here who speak their native tongue who will never, ever speak English. They'll never learn. They're too old. So what are we going to do? Throw them out? Exclude them from society? The European countries have dozens of languages. In fact, here's a question for you. Which country has, in fact, the highest number of languages in the world? Which country in the world has in it, speaking in it, the largest number of languages? You're not going to believe this. This blew my mind. The United States. Isn't that amazing that we are a country that actually has residing in it the largest number of languages, and primarily because of the Native American languages, the largest number of languages spoken here than any other country in the world. We have done famously without English being the official language. And people came from all over the world. They came from Poland, Czechoslovakia, Russia, India, China. And they all realized that the first thing they needed to do is learn to speak English. You know, these politicians are such bums. They're just a bunch of phony bums. What really bothers me, folks, we only have, we have about another 4 minutes. But let me tell you what really bothers me. It's the shallowness of the American thought process. Our thinking is very broad. It's a mile broad and an inch deep. I get in conversations like this quite often. The responses I get show absolutely no understanding nor respect for history, nor an understanding of how our system works, nor any respect for any other people. You know, we'll send our troops overseas to fight every war imaginable. But what we won't do, what we do at the same time, is that we become isolationists in thought. We'll bring our troops over there, we'll fly our planes over a country and bomb the bejesus out of it. But let me tell you something, when it comes to anything else, we are isolationist. We are very shallow in thought. We are not critical thinkers. And most Americans could not hold an intelligent conversation about any subject for any length of time without getting emotionally upset and ending it with some stupid statement, some generalization, and walking away. You know that to be true. And I'll bet you if you bring this thing up about English-only language, well, we got to have one language. You know, we can't have people speaking. You know, what about people going in the army? You can't have three generals with three different languages. Make absolutely no sense whatsoever. English is, in fact, our de facto official language. It is. It is our de facto even language. It does not need to be the official English language. We do not need an amendment to the Constitution, you know. And I really wish the American people would start thinking that way. Because all that happens is when these politicians drum the stuff up, they do two things. They divert us from our attention from items that are really important that they know they're going to get away with. You know, they can get away with provided that we don't spend any time thinking about it, right? And secondly, it gives them political fodder in order to for the next election. And we fall for it every time. We fall for that every single time. English is, in fact, the language of the United States. Everyone understands that. Just let it be. And let our freedom ring. Okay? All right, we didn't get any calls. I was hoping we did get some. We'd get some calls tonight, and here we go. This is the end of today's broadcast, and we'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends, and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com, or phone in your questions to area code 903-551-2186. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away, or you are striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. Until next time, stay well and stay tuned. And we'll see you on Thursday morning, 6:30 Central Time here in the United States. Thank you very much for listening.